Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I noticed you didn't say good to see you, but thank you, Toby. Yeah, that's wonderful. Before I start, I'd just actually like to pray for the team in Romania. I don't know what the time difference is at the moment there, but obviously they're in two different churches, the team. There's three of them, Denise, Joan, and Jonathan Lex. So I'd just like to commit them to you because, you know, some of us would often have been with them. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for that mission that's going on even now. And, Father, the words of life, Lord, that Joan, Denise, and Jonathan will be bringing into the churches in Romania, the two different places that they'll be. Lord, we just ask you to be with them as we ask you to be with us even now, Father, and that, Lord, you would be working out your purposes, Lord, bringing many children to yourself, Lord. Father, deepening our walk with you, Father, and just bringing glory to yourself in all of these things. Thank you that you are our great hope, Lord. You're the hope of this whole world. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. Thank you that we can spend time now just considering these things of how great and how glorious you are. And so, Father, we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just reflecting as we were singing some of those lovely songs, just how great the grace of God is, isn't it? And I was just reflecting that somehow once you've entered this sort of cloud of grace or forest of grace, however you want to picture it, you can't get out of it. You can't go through it and out the other side, which is just wonderful. Once you're in God's grace and experiencing it, you know, there is no end to it. I know we can make ourselves sort of, put ourselves under a cover for a while or something, try and hide, but the grace of God is still very much around us. So we're on to, I think the title of this sort of series was roughly something like The Gospel as Best I Remember It. Is that right, Ben? And so we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses. And if you'll remember, last time Emmanuel was speaking passionately about the resurrection, if you remember. Okay. Well, what I'd like to do, first of all, I'm going to be reading from or using the English Standard Version mainly, but I'm going to just read, first of all, I haven't put it on the screen, just read through 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 9. And then we'll have a look at a little summary. So that's the title of the talk, by the way. He appeared also to me. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 9. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And John did a really good talk on that particular verse. Okay, so if you're not sure quite what the if means and so on, then please access that talk. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So that's interesting. He's put that twice, hasn't he? In accordance with the scriptures. Shows the importance, you know, that Jesus fulfilled these Old Testament prophetic scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So let's just do a little summary from that. Okay, the gospel as of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead on the third day, according to the scripture, fulfilling the scripture. He appeared to Cephas, or Peter. He appeared then to the 12, 500 plus, James, the brother of Jesus, all the apostles. And then he ascended into heaven. All of those appearances took place between the resurrection and the ascension. And then the story continues. Jesus appeared to Saul, also known, of course, as Paul. Saul is Jewish name. Paul is his Roman. So last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So that's 1 Corinthians 15:8. So if we just focus on this little bit, verse 8, he appeared also to me. We can look at how and when this occurred. Now, in Acts, there are three accounts of this. Okay, all written, of course, by Luke. But the second and third ones are Paul's sort of defense when he's been sort of arrested, or there's been complaints about that he's, you know, turning things upside down, that they don't like what he's saying or doing. And these are parts of his defense. But we'll look at the narrative that Luke gives in Acts 9, verses 1 to 9. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So Paul then, having seen this light and spoken and seen Jesus in that light, Jesus appeared to him, spoke to him. So Paul saw Jesus, okay, and this was after some time, possibly 3 years after the ascension that this took place. But for 3 days then he was without sight, just like Jesus was in the dark for us for 3 days. In the tomb. And no doubt he reflected on the scriptures, which of course would have been the Old Testament scriptures. Paul would have known them really well, off by heart, no doubt, through his training. And of course he would have begun to see those scriptures in a new light. They were probably the same scriptures that Jesus unpacked to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I'm grateful to Liz Board, who recommended a book to me called Road to Emmaus by wonderfully named George Crabb. He's got some interesting things and insights, not only in the books, but on his little podcasts and things that he does. So these are Old Testament scriptures that are showing Jesus, revealing Jesus. So we have Paul, a man who was fanatical about his Jewish religion and traditions. He was the one, if you remember, we first come across him consenting to the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. So he was consenting to that death, associating himself with it. And it says, of course, that he was still breathing murder, wasn't it? Threats and murder. He persecuted the church in Jerusalem without mercy. And he was going from door to door, taking off believers, men and women, to prison or to death. So he's breathing out these threats and murder. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, that the first commandment is, or one of the commandments rather, is do not murder. And yet somehow the ruling elite are able to turn their ideology around to suit their purposes at any particular time. And that still happens today, doesn't it? It happens today. Paul was full of zeal. Philippians 3:6, Paul wrote this. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. That was the full extent of his zeal for the Jewish thing, that he would get rid of what was considered a heresy, but was actually the truth. And Paul seeks permission then from the high priest, and I bet Paul was in his good books, teacher's pet and all of that, for his zeal and fanaticism. And he was going to go and do the same thing in Damascus. In Proverbs 19, depends which version you look at, but it says, zeal is not good without knowledge. You go off on all sorts of tangents if you're just zealous without any knowledge, which is what Paul was doing. And this, of course, was about to be remedied. God was going to deal with that. Zeal without knowledge. So Paul sets off on the trip to Damascus. Okay, now as you can see from the bottom, it's 135 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus. And apparently today, if the political situation allows it, you could do that in exactly 4 hours and 38 minutes by car. So somewhere around 5 hours, I don't know. But obviously, by foot, if they were travelling by foot, we don't know whether it was by foot or on horse, it would be a 6-day journey from Jerusalem to Damascus. And that shows something of the dedication or determination that Paul had about his task. So Paul was approaching Damascus. So most of the trudge, most of this journey had been done. Now, if they were walking, and it took 6 days, it'd be really nice to think that Jesus appeared on day 5, because day five is the number of grace, and that would be just nice. But we don't know. We don't know. And suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. And of course, this is one of the suddenlies of God. This suddenly happened. It was totally unexpected by everybody on earth. Obviously, God knew. And it just shows how God can and does intervene in the affairs of men. So even when the ruling elite and all the others contort their ideologies to do harm, God still is able to do his thing and make sure that the gospel gets out. Now, in the passage we were looking at in Acts 9, Luke describes it rather as light. A light appeared. Okay. Further on in Acts 22, Paul, in one of his defences, describes it as a great light from heaven. And then in Acts 26, when Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, he describes it as a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. So you can understand why Paul would have been blinded by this. So this was an amazing experience that Paul would have had. Paul, in 1 Timothy 1:16, writes that, well, he puts this. Well, he talks about it being a pattern. So reading the verse, he says, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." You see, the pattern was that Paul, on his journey, just doing his normal, what was for him, his work. God met him. He saw the light. He heard the voice. And he fell down in fear before God and trusted in his Saviour, or Jesus, who became his Saviour. And that's a pattern, isn't it? That's a pattern for all of us, for all people. So Paul met Jesus, or Jesus met Paul, appeared to him, met with him on the Damascus Road. Now, I wonder just what road you were on. I know where I was when Jesus met with me, but what road were you on when you met Jesus, or Jesus met with you? Was that encounter dramatic like Paul's, or was it quiet? Just a gentle little voice or whatever. It may be that you actually hardly notice that you slipped into the kingdom. That happens for some. Some of us, it needs something more dramatic. Were you on your own, or were you with others? And did you know it was Jesus straight away? Paul knew it was, called him Lord, didn't he? Straight away. Did you know it was Jesus? Or indeed, you know, what road are you on now? It may be that you haven't actually met Jesus on the road yet. Is it a road on which you might meet Jesus? I know sometimes we've had to be pulled up short and change the direction that we're going in. But actually, you see, if Paul's pattern example is anything to go by, Jesus isn't particularly picky about what road he'll meet you on. You know, Paul was on a road where he was going off to commit murder. And I'm sure that's not true of most of us. All of us, hopefully. Any of us. He'll still meet with us because that's the nature of his grace and his love, that he wants to meet with us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to appear. Now, I'd just like to read something. It's from the Bible Society. It's their, it's called Bible a Month thing. And this is, it's like a little prayer newsy letter thing. And this is for March. Okay, and it's about a lady, it's not her real name, called Sakina in Algeria. And obviously it's a little bit about their particular work, but just, it's a little testimony. Okay. Sakina, who is over 70, is illiterate. But she recently came to know Jesus after listening to the scriptures in her own language through an electronic device provided by the Bible Society. She was amazed, says our colleague in North Africa. Never could she have imagined that one day she would listen to what God was telling her in her mother tongue. Her conversion for me is a miracle, aren't they all? Without God's intervention, it would have been impossible for this elderly, illiterate woman to come to know the Lord. So God's intervention, he came to meet with her. She has a trust and faith that Jesus now is her Saviour. She is sharing with other women the gospel with simplicity of heart. Gossiping the gospel is good, isn't it? Gossiping the gospel. Sakina says, "Before I knew Jesus, I was very confused. I didn't know where I would go when I die. My life hasn't changed, really. I'm still an old woman, but everything is different. I have become young again because God came to meet me through Jesus. And from the start, the message that Jesus died for me so that I could be saved was clear. And today, I know I am saved. And it's just wonderful, isn't it, that once we've been through that, we know that we are saved. Now, if you're not sure you've been saved, okay, or you want to meet with Jesus as Paul met with him or others have met with him, then today is an opportunity. And I'll be glad to talk to you as Ben would, or many, many others, John, or many, many others would be willing to speak with you. So if you're not sure and you want that confirmation, then please take this opportunity. Jesus wants to meet with you. In fact, he wants to meet with all of us all the time anyway. But that's your opportunity today. Hallelujah. I'll just leave that there for a minute. Just think on it. Think about where you met Jesus, actually, if you've already met him. Just take a time to recall that. And then I'd just like to deal with just one other thing. You notice, but Paul talked in that verse about one untimely born. What's he mean by that? He says, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So what does it mean? It probably means that it was sometime after Jesus ascended into heaven. The others, of course, had all been before the ascension. So it was probably that. It possibly was that he was late in coming to the party. His salvation and calling to be an apostle were later than other apostles. And that leads us on to an interesting thought, question, isn't it? Seeing the resurrected Jesus seems to be one of the qualifications for becoming an apostle. So that's interesting. So it's always worth checking out those who call themselves an apostle. Did Jesus appear to them in the way that they did, Jesus did to Paul? So it's worth thinking about. But it could also be this, and I take this from W.W. Wiersbe's book on Bible personalities. Paul wrote that his conversion was a pattern to those who would believe afterwards. He saw the light, heard the voice, fell down in fear before God, and trusted the Saviour. At the end of time, Jesus Christ... Sorry, I haven't printed that right. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, at the end, when Jesus appears, okay, the people of Israel will have a similar experience of sudden conversion. And Paul considered himself born out of due time. God's long-suffering and mercy proved to Paul that he would so deal with other sinners who, unlike him, were not the chief of sinners. And so that's in Zechariah 12. And I've taken out just a couple of the verses from that. It's 12:10 to 13:1, but just a couple of verses. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Remember, this was written 500 years before Jesus was born. So they look on him, the one whom they pierced. And on that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. So they too, the Jews too, will be saved in that time. And Paul is a pattern for that, as well as for us, the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, Father, for the truths that are in your word. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, above all, for the great grace that you show towards mankind, to each individual person. Lord, you will go out of your way to meet with them. And Father, I just want to thank you for that. Just as you did for Paul, Lord. Father, you met him and established this pattern, Lord. And Father, we just want to thank you that Paul's example, Lord, has been true for many of us as well, who followed in that pattern. And Lord, it will be true for all those who want to follow you. Lord, if we will only just allow or recognize you and say, when we hear that little voice speaking to us, who are you, Lord? He'll respond and say, I am Jesus. I am Jesus who died for you. And Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, meet with any here this morning who don't yet know you in fullness. Lord, thank you that you grant us fullness of life in Jesus, abundance of life in Jesus. Just like Sakina, we get transformed, that even though we're old in our physical bodies, we are young in the spirit. And Father, we just want to thank you for these miracles that you do. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you died for all of mankind. Lord, the Gentiles and your people, the Jews. And we thank you, Lord, that a time will come, Lord, when they too will return to you in fullness, Lord, and recognize Jesus as their Saviour, the Christ, the Messiah, indeed. Lord, we thank you and we ask your blessing now upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for giving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.